Welcome to the week that was, the first in what we hope will be a weekly look back at the past 7 days on site. I'm David Adams, the editor of Site Magazine, and this week on Site we published an interview with author and founder of Asia Harvest, Paul Hadaway, talking about his new series of books, The China Chronicles, which examines the history of Christianity in China on a province-by-province basis. Hadaway told me that after years of declining persecution against Christians in China, the past 18 months have seen the country enter a new stage of severe repression. He said that with some 400 million facial recognition cameras located all over the country, believers in China face new and insidious challenges as they continue to live out their faith, and many are now forced to gather in small groups, just as they did during Mao's day. Hadaway urged Christians to be praying that heavenly strategies and wisdom would be given to church leaders as they consider how to survive the current extreme difficulties. Looking elsewhere around the world this week and out of Turkey came news that Andrew Brunson, a US pastor imprisoned there for more than 1.5 years, has been released from jail into home detention because of health problems. Brunson, who's lived in Turkey for 23 years, has been on trial on terrorism and spying charges, charges the pastor vehemently denies. He faces up to 35 years in prison if found guilty. It's a case many Western observers have suggested is being carried out solely for political reasons. While the move's been welcomed by many as a first step, there have been ongoing calls for Brunson's immediate release, including by US Vice President Mike Pence, who's threatened sanctions against Turkey. Pence made the comments at a US State Department gathering, the Ministerial to Advance Religious Freedom, which took place in Washington, D.C. this week, and which is planned to be an annual event. Opening the summit on Tuesday, Sam Brownback, US Ambassador-at-Large for International Religious Freedom, urged faith leaders to work together to help the persecuted across the globe. Meanwhile, in Pakistan, people headed to the polls this week in a general election, with news just in that Imran Khan has declared victory for his Pakistan Movement for Justice Party. Early in the week, we ran a piece from two members of the US Commission on International Religious Freedom, Reverend Johnny Moore and Gail Manchin, and they noted the ongoing harassment of members of religious minorities in the country, including Christians and Ahmadi Muslims, and demanded greater action from the international community to ensure their safety. The shame of our world's record on religious freedom is that the story of any of a dozen minority groups could be told just by changing the names and country in this article, they wrote. In a dozen more, the situation is so degraded that the persecuted minorities would like nothing more than to be in the situation of the Christians and Ahmadis in Pakistan today. Back in the US, and we ran a story marking 10 years since the YouVersion Bible app, now downloaded more than 330 million times, was created by an Oklahoma-based church as part of their missional output, and has since gone on to become what's been described as the 300 million pound gorilla of Bible apps. We also reported on Archbishop of Canterbury's advocacy for those Christians facing violence in Nigeria, the ongoing crisis in Nicaragua, initiatives to provide free emergency accommodation to survivors of the Greek fires, and the announcement that the latest Ebola outbreak in the Democratic Republic of Congo has officially come to an end. Elsewhere on site, you can read an interview with Joe Hood, the Melbourne-based founder of Mainly Music and Mainly Play, international Christian ministries which aim to connect families to the church. And there's a sightseeing piece from columnist Niels von Kahm on mental illness. There's also a look on its 50th anniversary at where it all started for the Special Olympics, an organisation dedicated to inclusion which now spans the globe. Of course, you can read these and all of our stories on the website. And just before I go, I wanted to mention that we're hoping the week that was will become a space where we can share some of our reader comments and feedback. So please leave your comments on the bottom of our stories, or for any general comments, email site directly at editor@sitemagazine.com.au, and we'll select some to feature on the week that was. Remember to keep up to date with all that's happening on site by subscribing to the Site Daily or Site Weekly emails. Just look under the Subscribe tab on the website for details. You can also follow us on a range of social media, including Twitter and Facebook, and now also on Instagram. And please, if you can, consider giving just $1 a month to help us make Site sustainable and be able to expand our coverage. Again, head to the website and the Subscribe tab for details. I'm David Adams, editor of Site Magazine, and that was The Week That Was.